Evidence of forced labour and worker exploitation in northwestern China has once again raised Australia's links with companies which make their money out of modern slavery. The clothing retailers Target and Cotton On say they'll review their supply chains after a Four Corners investigation found that Muslim Uyghur citizens in Xinjiang province were forced to work in clothing factories. Mohsen Khalsan-Sweeney is head of environmental, social and governance advice at the fund manager Ausbil. Mr. Khalsan-Sweeney is speaking with the ABC's senior business correspondent Peter Ryan.
So at the moment, it's estimated to be about 40 million people living in modern slavery conditions, which means it's actually a bigger issue than ever before in human history. And we also want to flag how this is more than just an ethical issue. Because if you think of a business model, if it relies on underpaid workers, weak regulation, or even illegal activities like slavery, those earnings are not going to be sustainable over the long term.
The Four Corners report looks at re-education camps, political indoctrination, sometimes torture. So does it surprise you that there would be major modern slavery issues in places like China?
No, having been there, I'm not totally surprised. One key issue in China that I found was a lot of the work is being subcontracted. So you can go and see a factory, but then the work is getting done somewhere else. So this is a danger of having an order to go into China, looking at the supply, thinking, okay, everything is great in this factory, let's move on. Meanwhile, the work is then being produced down the road.
Those two businesses, Target and Cotton On, who've responded to the Four Corners investigation, say they're reviewing their supply chains. But in the meantime, should they be simply freezing their involvement?
It's a tricky one because if I think back to my trip to Bangladesh, this is 1 year after the Rana Plaza building collapse where 1,138 people died. The key message from when I spoke to workers and NGOs and unions there was they don't want the Western brands to leave Bangladesh. They want them to stay. They just want to have decent working conditions. So simply terminating suppliers is not always the answer.
You advise big investors and businesses about the sort of companies that they might be investing in. So what sort of process do you go through to make sure that there are no issues in there like modern slavery?
I mean, these are very complex issues, and I think even companies that try to do the right thing might be caught up in subcontracting. But we have a few things we advise companies to do to at least minimise those risks. We review every company, what are the risks of the human rights issues in their supply chains, and then we engage heavily with companies we invest in to advise them what we think they should do to minimise that risk.
And given the growth or widespread use of subcontracting around the world, including here in Australia, How difficult is it to actually weed out issues of modern slavery?
It's very hard. I think often the issues emerge where you have like an oligopoly with a couple of players putting a lot of downward pressures on price, and then suppliers take shortcuts and particularly on labour rights. So if you treat suppliers on a transactional basis, I think it's very hard. But if you work with your suppliers and you incentivize them to comply with your supplier code of conduct, that's ultimately how at least you can get to the bottom of some of these things.
But how difficult would it be to identify these issues, given that a lot of this stuff mightn't even be in the books or on the books?
Yep, double books is very common, particularly in Southeast Asia. I mean, I've been to a lot of factories in Southeast Asia, China, Cambodia, Bangladesh over the years, and you never get to see the worst factories. You only get to see the best factories because I know you're coming.
How often are you in a situation where you have to say to an investor, we just don't know enough, you shouldn't invest in this?
Well, it's all based on probability, I guess. Like we try to assess the risk the best we can, and we try to assess the way a company deals with the risk. But if anyone said to me, can you construct a portfolio that's guaranteed to be slavery free, I think that would be impossible.
What about here in Australia? Surely there must be potential risks given the widespread use of subcontracting.
There are risks in Australia. I guess the key risk sectors here would be the agricultural supply chain, particularly where there's migrant workers involved. You've got car washing facilities, nail salons, etc. So it's estimated to be several thousand people living in modern slavery conditions in Australia, which is quite frightening, actually.
So is the message that, of course, there are very big issues overseas, but there could be very big issues here in Australia in supply chains?
Yeah, I think they're both. If I look at overseas, with 40 million people living in modern slavery conditions globally, it's been estimated about 25 million of those are in forced labour. In Asia, is obviously the biggest trouble spot there. But most Australian companies have their supply chains in Asia, which is where the main risks are.
At Ausbil, you're an active investor. So how are you going and trying to get the companies that you invest in to change their attitudes or to become more aware of things like modern slavery?
You can take two approaches. You can point the finger or you can try to be part of a solution. Going on these field trips, understanding the complexity, seeing what actually works on the ground and speaking to leaders in this field. But you can't have a business model or a supply chain that runs on slavery over time because that's not going to be sustainable.
That's Måns Carlsson-Sweeney, Head of Environmental, Social and Governance at the fund manager Ausbil, speaking there with the ABC's Peter Ryan.